Good morning, everyone. Today's Daf in Yuma is Daf Samech Ches. Deep appreciation to the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf will be learned to Lezecher Nishmas Lois Zaltzman Lupin. The Gemara is, we're almost up to the new Mishnah. We're on Samech Zayin Amud Beis, and we have just a couple more points that we need to go over until we get to the new Mishnah. Yesterday's Daf was dedicated to linear measurement and how far it was to get to the Tzok. The Tzok was the edge of the cliff where we're going to throw the goat off the edge of the cliff. That's, as the Mishnah noted, it's an exciting part of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. It was a little too exciting. People got so excited about it that they would prod and pull hair and really try to get that goat out of there. So the Mishnah Mishnah pointed out that it was a total of 12 mil, or the Mishnah put in other types of linear measurements, 90 ris, but it's the same thing. It's 12 mil, about 12 kilometers to get from the Makom HaMikdash, where the Sir Meshlech started, until he got out to the Tzok. So 12 mil, it's a 12-kilometer walk. So how long did it take? Well, however long it took. But obviously it was a hike. It was a journey.
18 minutes.
Yeah, 18 minutes per, right. If you figure 18 minutes per mil, so 18 times 12, so that's... Yeah, correct.
Which is 3 mil.
What would the coin go to during this time?
So that's, stay tuned. Stay tuned. That's an excellent question, and stay tuned. That's coming up in today's Daf. The Mishnah on the previous Amud, on the bottom of Samach Vav Amud Beis, starting in Samach, going to the top of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, mentioned the actual procedure of pushing the goat off the edge of the cliff. So okay, and the Gemara yesterday had a discussion in terms of the red wool about the breaking, the splitting of the red wool into two pieces, attaching half of it to the goat and half of it to the rock, and that way, in manner of doing so, we'll know that the red turned into white, if it did. The Gemara earlier pointed out in the Masechta, sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't. But if it would turn to the white, we would know. But at the same time, also, by affixing part of the red wool to the goat, so the Kohen, whoever the Ishit was, but as we learned a couple days ago, generally speaking, it was a Kohen, so he would be focused on the goat, and he would not neglect the mitzvah of pushing the goat off the cliff.
So what happened when it didn't turn off?
Huh?
What happened when
if it didn't turn white? The Gemara says the Jewish people were depressed. It was a depressing Yom Kippur. The Gemara then yesterday got involved in a halachic discussion. After the goat basically has been dismembered, meaning the goat was thrown off the cliff, and as the Mishnah described, not even halfway down the cliff, the goat would already now basically be cut into pieces and sliced up based on the fall. So now the limbs of the goat are on the base of the cliff, and now the bottom of the cliff, and now those limbs asabarna murtabarna. So the Gemara brought down a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. We don't know how each one of the Amorim felt. We just know that there was a machlok between Rav and Shmuel. One argument says that the limbs were asabarna. Another argument is that the limbs were Mutabahana. So how do we arrive at such a conclusion? So what's the argument? So the Gemara advances two arguments. One argument to say that it's Mutabahana is the Torah wouldn't do that. Torah wouldn't put us in a situation where we'd have limbs on the ground or anybody could walk over and pick it up and be in violation of Me'ila. Torah wouldn't create a takala. We had a similar Gemara in Kedushin. I mentioned this yesterday. The Gemara in Kedushin says this. We use the same argument for the Tziporim, for the birds of the Metzora. The Taharas HaMetzora, the purification of the Metzora, is done on the first day with two birds, where one bird is Shecht and the other bird is let go free. And the Gemara over there has a discussion, should that bird be Asa Bahana? And the Gemara says, no, Lo Yitakein. It's just simply, it doesn't make sense that we're going to allow a bird to go free and then someone's going to be in violation of Me'ila. So that's one argument. On the other hand, the other argument, and this is what the Gemara advances for whoever the other mandamer is, again, we don't know, it could be the Rav, it could be Shmuel, is that the Torah uses a language of Gezerah. Gezerah means a language of Chomer, of Isser. And even after the limbs are on the ground, still it's subject to Isser. The Gemara noted yesterday, perhaps we would view this mitzvah as a strange mitzvah, as one that doesn't make any sense, as one that's illogical. So the Gemara says, yes, you may view it that way, but Alpha Pikein Ani Hashem. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yud Ches, Ani Hashem, meaning Kosh Baruch Hu says, look, I commanded it. So You're right, you have logic and you have reason and you have rationale. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a brain, but at the same time, you do the mitzvah simply because it's a mitzvah, for no other reason. Okay, that's the and that's where we ended off yesterday. And now we talk today about Tumas Begadim. Tumas Begadim, the Torah says that the one who's involved in the burning of the goat is going to be mitame. He's going to become tame. And not only is he going to be tame, but Tuma Chamura, right? What we often quote throughout the Gemara, throughout Shas, is a very stringent Tuma. Meaning not only is he going to become tame, but even the clothing that he's wearing is going to become tame. Even though the clothing itself didn't come into contact with the with the source of tuma, it doesn't matter. The you and the clothing that you wear are going to become tuma. This is tuma chamura. So the Gemara now is going to be very specific. We are continuing in the Gemara on Samech Zayin Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan Meshalech Matame Begadim Veinashalech Meshalech Matame Begadim. So the actual messenger, meaning what about the one who sends out the messenger, the Sholech as a Meshalech, not him, but the actual messenger himself, the one who is escorting the goat. Now, at what point precisely? So I might have thought that the moment they lived the walls of the Azara, Tamalama Mishalech. No, he's got to be the one that's sent out. So, okay. So, in other words, so we're looking for that critical point where he's going to become Tame. So, we're saying now that it won't be until he exits the... We thought that maybe it's at the moment where he exits the Azara. No, the Gemara says not so. We now think, well, maybe it's the point where he gets the cliff. Now, in other words, we're looking for a significant moment. No, and he's got to be en route. At the not at any point, but when he's being sent out. Div Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda comes to some sort of compromise position. So in other words, after he leaves the Azara, well before he gets to the cliff, so the Gemara says, what's going to be the significant point when he leaves Chomas Yerushalayim, the walls of Jerusalem? Now remember, how do we view the three circumscribed areas? So the Azara itself, that's what we call Machane Shechina. That's the divine camp. The walls of the Har HaBayis, that's called Machane Leviya. And the walls of Yerushalayim, that's called Machane Yisroel. So fine, so basically until he leaves all Gimel Machanos, all three camps. Rabbi Yossi, Omra Azazel, V'chibes, Ashi Yigil, Etzok. Rabbi Yossi says no, because the Torah describes him becoming Tamei in the context of being an Azazel. At what point is the goat deemed an Azazel? Meaning when's the act of Azazel? That's when he pushes the goat off the cliff. That's when he becomes Tamei. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, V'amishlech HaSitzil, Azazel, Yichabes Begadav Zorko, Bebas Rosh, Umetame Begadim. And Rabbi Shimon is actually even more literal. Rabbi Shimon says, no, when he does the act of pushing the goat off the cliff, then and only then is he going to be Tamei Begadim. So, the Gemara brings in three different opinions in terms of when Tumas Begadim for the pushing off of the goat. Either when he exits Yerushalayim, when he gets to the cliff, or when he actually pushes the goat off the cliff.
He doesn't become Tamei himself, just the
Begadim. No, he becomes Tamei himself. Tumas Begadim just simply is a reflection of how Tamei he is. Meaning, Tumas Begadim is just simply saying that he becomes Tamei and the clothing that he is wearing becomes Tamei. Sometimes in Halacha, he just becomes Tamei, but not his clothing. So obviously the clothing that he's wearing is touching him. So, but that's a Vlada Tumma. That's a derivative of Tumma. But sometimes the clothing, he's so Tamei that even the clothing that he's wearing is Tamei to the point where the clothing is an Avatumma. So this is the type of Tumma Chamura. Yeah, and then what you'll do is you'll take your clothing, put them in the mikvah, and Harav Shemesh, wait until nightfall. Okay. All right, we are done with this step of the procedure. So basically now, we've thrown the goat off the cliff. Now, admittedly, which is what we're going to be discussing for the remainder of today, it'll take some time. Meaning for the person who's transporting the goat out to the designated area to be thrown off the cliff. So as we pointed out in yesterday's daf, it was 12 mil. Takes about 18 minutes to walk a mil. So 12 of them. Let's just do 20. That'll make it a little bit easier. So
16 and divided by 60, so it's about 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours. Okay. So 3.5 hours. Now, everything on Yom Kippur is very organized, which basically means that the Kohen Gadol cannot do the next activity until the previous activity is done. So that's a little bit strange now, because that sounds like there's going to be a 3.5 hour lag between the sending out of the goat and when he's able to move on to the next step. Okay, so hold that thought in mind, because we're going to come back to that. That 3.5 hour lag, that's a long time.
How would he know when it was done?
And good, perfect. And the question is how does he know when this occurred? Okay, so again, stay tuned. These are important questions which we're going to come back to later this morning. In the meantime, however, there's one activity that he can do in the meantime while he's waiting. It's not an avoda per se, it's a prep. It's a preparatory activity towards an avoda, and that's the hotzas ha'imor. Okay, now, not that often. We have what we would call a general chatas, a regular chatas. I was going to say normal. There's what we have, a regular chatas, and then we have a special chatas that's offered on Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur is not the only time that we have these special chatas. I'm going to give it a new name now. We're not going to call it special chatas. We'll call it an inner chatas. Okay. Now, when it comes to a regular chatas, what happens, it's very straightforward. You take the animal, you shech the animal, on the north side of the Azara, you sprinkle the blood on the outer Mizbeach, on the four corners of the outer Mizbeach, right? You go in a counterclockwise rotation around the outer Mizbeach, you apply the blood to all four corners of the outer Mizbeach, and then what? Then you take the imurim, the innards out of the animal, the intestines out of the animal, you put it on the Mizbech, you burn on the Mizbech, and as far as the meat of the animal is concerned, the meat is eaten by the Kohanim. That's what happens to a regular carbon chatas. Okay, good. But now, on Yom Kippur, we don't have what's called the chatas chitzona, but we have what's called the chatas panimis. Chatas panimis means I have the blood of the animal not being sprinkled on the outer Mizbech, but the blood of the animal being sprinkled in the Beis HaMikdash, in the actual edifice. Now, in Yom Kippur, we go even one step further. In Yom Kippur, we take the blood and we sprinkle it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But there are other occasions where the blood of a chatas is going to be sprinkled inside the Heichal, on the Peroches, on the Mizbeach. Just to send a couple of examples of when this is so, we have the Parhelim Davar. That means that when the Jewish people are sinning because Beis Din came out with a ruling that was incorrect, it was an accident, Beis Din obviously subject to human... To human fault. So they came out with an erroneous ruling. The Jewish people acted upon this erroneous ruling. And now there's what's a special chatas that's off. It's called Par Helam Davar, right? Or Par Tzibor. Or Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor. So there the blood of such a carbon is sprinkled in the Beis HaMikdash. Opposite the... doesn't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Opposite the Paroches and on the Mizbech. Another example would be Sir Avodah Zarah. Well, let's say the Jewish people are over at Avodah Zarah. Again, it was accidental. Certainly not intended. I know it's a strange one. Hard to imagine that the Jewish people, en masse would be over at Avodah Zarah based on an erroneous ruling by Beis Din. But again, if this were to happen, a special carbon would be offered. This would be Sir Avodah Zarah. So a special goat would be offered. And again, same thing. The blood is sprinkled in the Heichal, opposite the Paroches and on the Mizbeach HaZahav. So in these types of karbanos, so what happens to the actual animal itself? The animal itself is not eaten by the Kohanim, but the animal itself is burnt. Not in the Azara, and as we'll learn over the course of this morning, not even the Har HaBayis area, outside. Outside Gibel Machanos, where exactly? We'll see today, it's subject to a debate, where exactly it's burnt, but it's Chutz LaMachana, it's burnt outside the camp. Outside all three camps, as we'll learn over the course of today. Okay. So what the Kohen Gadol is going to do now is kind of waiting, because now the goat is being sent off to the cliff and it's going to take some time. And as we'll see later on this morning, he doesn't have to wait till the goat gets all the way to the edge. That's 3.5 hours later. We'll talk later this morning in terms of how long he needs to wait. But while waiting, he can do one preparatory activity, which is go to the par, go to the seir, the animal. Remember, all we've done with these animals is just shecht and collect the blood. And, of course, sprinkle the blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal and the Mizbeach. And now what he's going to do is he's going to tear open the body cavity and he's going to remove the imurim. He's going to put it on a plate and basically wait, because later that day he's going to offer that on the Mizbeach. So, and it's not an avoda per se, but it's a prep activity. So, Ba'alo, we're starting with the Mishnah. We're on Samach Zayin Amud Beis, and we start with the Mishnah. Ba'alo, Eitzel Par V'Seir, Nisrafim. So, it goes to the Par and the Seir that are burnt. Kar'an, tears it open. Right? He makes an incision on the stomach. Ve'otzias Imurim, and he removes the Imurim. Right? The intestines of the animal. and other parts of the inside of the animal, certain chelev, certain fats of the animal that are going to be burned on Mizbech. Nastan bemegis vihiktiran. Now, if you read the Mishnah carefully, the Mishnah can be a little bit misleading. Because the Mishnah says he puts on the Magus. Magus is just simply a platter, and he will burn it. Now, as the Gemara will point out, that's not accurate. He doesn't burn it now. He's going to be burning it later. Right now, it's just a preparatory activity. So the Mishnah is saying, Vihiktiran, that's a little bit misleading, and the Gemara is going to pounce on that part of the Mishnah. Stay tuned. Vihiktiran agabe mizbech. Kalan bimiklaos. Now, the animals themselves, meaning the par and the seer, after removing the imurim, are going to be burnt. So they have to be transported out. So the Mishnah over here describes in graphic detail how the animals themselves are put onto poles and actually woven onto the two poles, meaning that basically the limbs of the animals are interwoven so that the people who are carrying on the poles are basically going to be able to hold it on the poles, meaning it won't fall off the poles. Votzi on the basis of reference, take it out to the basis of reifa. Now, the people who are burning the part of the seer also are subject to Tumah Chamura. They're also going to become Tameh. Meaning the Torah describes how when you are burning the part of the seer, you are going to become Tameh. And again, a degree of Tumah where your clothing are going to become Tameh as well. So at what point exactly? Mishiyatza Chomitz Chomitz Ha'azara. So according to the Tanakam of our Mishnah, the moment they exit the walls of the Azara. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Meshitzis, or Beruban. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon says, no. The Torah says you're going to become Tameh when you burn the animals. Well, burning doesn't take place until later on. When the animals catch fire, and the majority of the animals caught fire, then and only then is the one who is involved in the burning is going to become Tameh with Tumah Chamura. We'll discuss more about that later on. Okay, first things first, the Gemara pounces on the Mishnah. Vihiktiran sakadaka. Are they burning they? Is the Kohen Gadol burning the Imurim right now? He can't do it. Rashi points out, it's too early. When exactly is it going to get burnt? If take a look at Rashi inside. Rashi, I'm looking at that first Rashi. Rashi has a number of girsa issues, but Rashi ends up saying that the girsa that we have in our Gemara, that's the correct girsa. And take a look in the Rashi. I'm starting in the first wide line, Elahachi Kashiole. First wide line of that Rashi. This is what's difficult for the Gemara. V'hiktiran sakadach v'chi achshav hu maktiran. Do you mean to tell me that we're burning the Imurim right now? That's not true. V'aloha den lavush b'gdei lavan. Because remember, where are we at in the Avodas Hayom? Kohen Gadol's still wearing his white clothing. He sprinkled the blood. He did vidu on the Seir Mishalech. He sent out the Seir Mishalech. He's still wearing his white clothing. Now, what's left for him to do? So as we'll learn later on this morning, he has a kriya. He has to read from the Torah. We'll talk about that. That's the beginning of the seventh parak. Afterwards, he does tefillah, and he puts on his big days of his gold clothing. Where he's going to be offering the ram for him, and for the nation. Meaning the ram is a karban ola, which he's going to be offering while wearing his big day zahav. V'id boshnia, lotzi kafa machta. Then he's going to tovel again, and then he's going to put on his white clothing. For what reason? For the purpose of going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in order to remove the shovel and the spoon, which he brought in earlier that day in order to create the cloud of smoke. V'id boshlish esamusaf and v'imurichatas. Halalu. And then what he's going to do is he's going to tovel again. And with that additional tefillah, he's going to put back on his gold clothing. And while wearing the gold clothing, he's going to offer all the musafim of Yom Kippur and the imurei chatas halalu. And he's then and only then going to burn the imurim. So the imurim are going to be burnt of the carbon chatas much later in the day. I'm sorry, and all this we're going to be discussing in the seventh parak of Yuma. Ela Ema, so therefore, the idea that he's going to burn the Imurim now, it's way premature. It's going to happen later in the day, after many things are going to happen in between. So when the Mishnah says, Vihiktiran, so what does the Mishnah mean by that? So now let's go back to the Gemara. I mean, Rashi says it, but the Gemara is going to say it. Ela'ema lehaktiran agamim mizbech. So we're going to make one minor change in the Mishnah. Not and he will burn it, but rather so that he will burn it. Meaning this is just simply a preparatory act so that later on he'll be ready to burn it on the mizbech. Okay.
Why regular
Huh?
If it's not actual avoda, why not a regular
point? Right, correct. That's an excellent question. So, I'm unsure. It's really an excellent question. The one of the things that comes out now is, and you see, Tosus discusses this, meaning that you know, unfortunately, we haven't seen the avoda being done in now 2 millennia since the destruction of the second base of Mikdash. But what we have is we have the Avodas Yom Kippur mentioned in Musaf on Yom Kippur. So in other words, and of course we have the Mishnayos and we have the Gemara that describes the Avodas Yom Kippurim. But nowadays we just say it in the form of Tefillah. And it's also done not only through Tefillah but liturgy, meaning it's poetic. Right? It's I find to be one of the more difficult things in Yom Kippur is to follow the avoda, because even after you know the order through the Mishnayos and you read a Rambam and it's very straightforward, it's pretty cut and dry, but now we have to read it through Al Yedei the poem and the poetry and the Musaf. It's very difficult. But also one of the things that you, and obviously to do this on Yom Kippur itself is I don't recommend, but in other words, in preparation for Yom Kippur, so you go through it, you go through the Avodas Yom Kippurim and Musaf, and you'll notice like little subtleties in terms of how it describes it. So already the Rishonim, I mean, you can see the Tosfos over here as well, already the Rishonim are bothered because in our Mishnah it says, and what happens at this point in time, you burn the Imurim. But then you just learn the Gemara, and the Gemara says, no, you don't burn it now, you push it off to later. So when you read the Piyut, I don't have it in front of me right now, I should have brought it in front of me, so you'll see that in the liturgy in the piyutim, so it describes how it's burnt now. And now after having gone through the Gemara, now we're the wiser. We know better. It's not burnt now. It's burnt later on. So the Rishonim are already bothered by when Rav Elazar Kalir was putting together the poetry for Musaf, is he following the Mishnayos? Was he following the Gemara? Is he adopting the correction of the Gemara and the Mishnayos? Meaning these are the kind of details which the Rishonim are already bothered by.
Even the Mishnah is the
Yeah, no, you couldn't.
And then
I agree with you. You could learn the Mishnah differently, but the simple Pshat on the Mishnah is it's burned right there. Okay, Kalam b'Meklaus, Amar Rav Yochanan k'min Kliya. So Rav Yochanan just simply says that it's like braided. The limbs of the animal, the body parts of the animal, are braided onto the poles. Tana lo hayu menatchan nituch basar ola ela or agabe basar. There was no flaying of the animal, meaning unlike a regular carbon ola where the animal gets flayed, the hide is ripped off the carcass of the animal. Now, by the way, the hide of a carbon ola does not have kedusha, does not have sanctity, given to the kohanim. Whichever Cohen was involved in the carbonola, so he walks away from every carbonola with a hide. So, right, as I quit many times, every time he brings a carbonola, it's a new pair of shoes, it's a new handbag for his wife. In other words, he's he gets the right. He gets to keep the leather. But regarding Parim HaNisrafim, and in this case the Seir HaNisrafim, so the everything is going to get burnt, and therefore that means that you don't take the hide off of the animal. Menani Mila, the Gemara says, how do I know that this is so? So, Ditanya, so the Gemara is going to go through a lengthy discussion. Well, actually, the Gemara is not, this discussion is not so lengthy. Rashi over here goes through a lengthy discussion, but Tanya Rabbi Omenemar Kanad or Basar Uperis, Venemar Lahalan or Basar Uperis. Because again, we're going to compare this carbon Chatas, that one offered in Yom Kippur, to the ones mentioned in Perek Dalet. The ones mentioned in Perek Dalet, like I described earlier this morning, that's the Parhelim Davar. That's, well, actually, the Seer of Avodah Zarah is actually mentioned in Parsha Shlach. But either way, there are other Chataos which are burnt in its entirety and not eaten by the Kohanim. So just like over there in Perek Dalet, the Parhelim Davar, the Torah says you don't flay the animal, but rather you keep the hide on the animal. So to over here by Yom Kippur, same idea. You keep the hide on the animal. Now Hasa Menalan, now the Gemara goes through next step of this process. How do I know that by Parhelim Davar you keep the hide on the animal? Ditanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Karvo Pirshava Otsim, Malamisha Motsim Shalem. First of all, you take the animal out whole. You don't even cut up the animal when you take it out. You leave the animal whole. The only thing you're going to do is you're going to cut open the stomach in order to remove the insides, the imurim. Yachol yisrof en shalem nemar kan rosho v'karav nemar lahalan rosho v'karav malahalan yidei nituach havkana yidei nituach. Now, before burning, you cut the limbs. You cut it into limbs. Ima lahalan yidei hefshet havkana yidei hefshet. Now, it happens to be that regarding the carbon ola, I also flay the animal. Does that mean I'm going to flay the animal before burning the animal of the chatas and israfos? Tamalamer v'kirbo pirsho. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk, says, no, you don't. Now the Gemara is quoting of the pasuk. How do we learn from that pasuk that you don't flay the animal? My tamuda. That's the Gemara's next question. Amara papa kishim shepirsho v'kirbo ach besara ba'oro. Because the Torah says that when you burn it with the perish. Perish is the excrement. Now, you do not remove the excrement from the intestines. You keep the excrement encased in the intestines. So the way the drasha works is, just like the perish is kept inside the kirbayim, just like the excrement is kept in the intestines, so too the meat of the animal is kept in its encasing, which is the hide of the animal. So in other words, the only thing you do is you just chop it into pieces, into limbs, not into pieces. You chop it into limbs, but that's all you do. You don't do anything beyond that. You keep everything encased, excrement encased in the intestines, meat encased in the hide. And that's how you burn it.
The part that goes in the they don't wash it?
It's general, well, the Mishnah doesn't describe over here, but generally speaking, it is washed before. So, but the Mishnah does not describe it. Okay.
The purpose of the animal on the Mizbeach is to achieve kapara?
Yeah, the imurim that are burnt on the Mizbeach is part of the process of the kapara. The, you know, in the... There are two karbanas. One karban is the azaza, which is for the sharia averus of Klal Yisrael, and the other one is the sir la'ashem and the par. So they provide a kapara for tumas mikdash v'kadashav, the possible violation where somebody walked into the base of mikdash while being tameh. So it's for a different purpose. Okay. Remember when Aaron and Moshe got into that big argument, right? Aaron was an onain. And Aaron did not eat the carbon chatas. Right? It was the first day of Nisan. It was the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, I should say, in the desert. And there were three carbon chatas that were brought that day. And Aaron did not eat. And only one, he didn't eat one of them. And so now Moshe says to him, Aaron, that's your job. Meaning, you bring a carbon chatas, you're supposed to eat. And Moshe said to Aaron, you know, the blood wasn't brought into the heichal, meaning this is a regular carbon chatas, which means that you should eat it. And so one of the points that Gemara makes, not here, but other places, is that when the blood is brought into the heichal, like Yom Kippur, like the Par Helam Davar, like the Sira Avodah Zarah, when the blood is brought in, so then the Kohen doesn't eat it. Okay, so it's just another indication that the blood of the of these types of carbon chatuses, which are brought into the heichal, the animal is not meant to be eaten by the kohanim. Okay. Meimus amitame begadim. We're on samach chesam and aleph. We're continuing a long time of rabbanon. Yotzel mechutz amachane v'sarfal. So the gemara again. We're going to keep going back and forth. We're going to bounce back and forth between the chatas hapnimius of Yom Kippur and the chatas hapnimius are mentioned in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra and Perek Dalet. So the Gemara says, Yotzi Yomichutz HaMachanos V'Tzarfo, Lahalan HaTanos Alem Gimel Machanos, Ukan HaTanos Alem Gimel Machanos. The truth of the matter is that you take it out of three machanos. Again, the three machanos are Machanos Shechina, which is the Azara, Machanos Leviyah, which is Har Bais, and Machanos Yisrael, which is Chomas Yerushalayim. Now, that's not perfectly clear from the Torah. The Torah says, Yotzi el michutz lamachane. The Torah only speaks in the singular. One might have thought that you only take it out of one machane, meaning the Azara, and you burn it right there, which is what the Gemara now is addressing. Im kein lama nema michutz lamachane. Why does the Torah say michutz lamachane? Lama lacha kemish yasa chutz lamachane achaz metamim begadim. So the Gemara says, no. When you take it out of one machane, out of the azara, you still got more to go. You're still going to keep walking out. You're going to continue taking it out. Because, as we will explain in just a moment, you take it out of Gimel Machanos. You do that with all the Parim HaNisrafim. The only thing that the Torah is trying to communicate to us is that once you've exited one Machane, meaning once you've walked outside the Azara, at that point in time now, you are considered the Soreif, which means that you're subject to Tumah Chamura. Your clothing is going to be Tameh. Now again, your clothing meaning you're going to become Tameh and the clothing you're wearing.
But is the first Machane, he's still accompanied by the Kohen Gadol, no? The animal?
No, the Kohen Gadol is not taking it out. Other people taking it out.
From
the Azara. The Kohen Gadol is not going to be taking it out.
He's not handing it off outside of Azara.
No, the Kohen Gadol is in the Azara the entire day. He hasn't moved from the Azara.
No, I understand, but I'm saying he's not handing it from within Azara to outside Azara, but to another.
It sounds like it's. I don't know if there's an actual handoff, but but it's taken out from by these people, by the Kohanim who are involved in the burning, in the Azara, and they're going to just simply take it out. The Hasam Minalan, continuing now in the Gemara, in the middle of Samech Chesam and Aleph, Detanya Votzias Kolapar. Votzias Kolapar. So now we go. This is still an achremos. So you take out the entire animal, the entire bull. Chutz legimel machanos. Now this is the Gemara's interjection, the Bryce's interjection. When he says you take it out, you take it all the way out. Ato amr chutz legimel machanos. So I know ala chutz machane achas. Now how do I know that? The Torah just simply describes it as taking it out outside the machane, the one machane. Kishu amr bepar ha'ida el michutz lamachane. So now the Gemara says, now we go back to Perek Dalet. And it says regarding the par eida, shein tam alam asheri kvar nemar v'seraf aso kasher seraf es par. You burn it the place, same place where you burn the par. Harishon ma tam alamar amalei. So I'm sorry. El mechutz amachane liten lo machane shnia. The fact that the Torah says mechutz amachane means he take it out another camp. So kishu amar mechutz amachane badeshin shein tam alam asheri kvar nemar shefa chadeshin. So tein lo machane shlishis. And the Torah then gives us another pasuk that describes how you take it out another camp. So in other words, we basically have three exits from three separate camps. So that means you take it out of Machane Shechina, out of Machane Levia, and out of Machane Yisrael. Okay, and as Rashi points out, there's a long Rashi over here. I'm not going to go through the Rashi together inside right now, but Rashi says that this halach is true both by the par and steer of Yom Kippur, as it's also true regarding the par helm davar shel tzibur, that you take it out of Gimel Machnos. And the only thing the Torah is communicating to us when it says by the par of Yom Kippur, Yotzi al michutz lamachaneh, with one machaneh, that's coming to tell us that the tumah arrives once the person who's carrying it exits one machaneh. Okay. Period ad kan, meaning that now is the drasha on behalf of the Tana Kama. The conclusion is very straightforward. To burn it, you take it out of all gimel machanos. To become tameh as the burner, you become tameh once you leave one machane. So that means that the person who's holding the animal on the poles, the people that are holding animals on the pole, so they're going to be exiting the Azara. The moment they exit the Azara, they're tameh. Tameh with tumas begadim. And in terms of the mitzvah to burn, they don't burn it until they actually exit all three machanos.
What level of tumah does person carry?
They're an avatumah. They are now a source of tumah.
So they can have any kind of physical contact with anybody else that they meet along the way.
Right. And if they do, then they're going to just simply be mitame. Now, Rabbi Shimon, ha-mechutz ha-machane ma-yavid lei. Now, the Gemara has to speak on behalf of Rabbi Shimon. Why? Because you go back to the Mishnah, where we started this whole discussion. Rabbi Shimon says that the Kohanim are not tummy until the animal actually catches fire. Obviously, Rabbi Shimon doesn't agree with the drushes that we just presented. Rabbi Shimon, ha-mechutz ha-machane ma-yavid lei. So what does he do with the mechutz ha-machane? Mi-bai le-lechit detanya. So the Gemara says that what he learns out of mechutz ha-machane is to teach a different halacha. Rabbi Lazar, amir ne-makam mechutz ha-machane v'ne-ma lahal mechutz ha-machane makan chutz le-gimel machanos af lahal chutz le-gimel machanos. So just like by par helm davar, it's outside three camps, so to over here, by the par of Yom Kippur, outside three camps. Malahalam b'mizracha shel Yerushalayim, afkan b'mizracha shel Yerushalayim. I'm sorry, we're not talking about the par helm davar. I made a mistake. We're talking about the par aduma. just like the Parah Aduma is done outside of all three camps, so too here on Yom Kippur, it's outside of all three camps. Now, regarding the Parah Aduma, we know exactly where the animal is going to get burnt. East side, what we now refer to as Har Zeitzim, Mount of Olives. So too, on Yom Kippur, it's taken out of all three camps, and it's burned on the east side as well.
How do they draw the parallel between Parah Aduma?
Just simply because by the Parah Aduma, we have the similar language of Michutz LaMachaneh. So now that is according to Rabbi Shimon. So for Rabbi Shimon, what the Torah is telling us is not how far you take it out, and we all agree we take it out of Gimel Machanos. What Rabbi Shimon says was Michutz Machaneh, meaning that the same place where I burned the Parah Aduma, meaning the east side, so too you burn the Parah Seir of Yom Kippur. Now what about the Chachamim, who obviously already have taken the pasuk of Michutz Machaneh for drasha? So what do we? So v'rabban and hechasarif lehu. Where do we burn the par in the seer of Yom Kippur? Okay, the Tanya. So the Gemara says we have a brisa that speaks to that. Hechan misrafin litzfona shel Yerushalayim. You burn it on the north side of Yerushalayim. Why the north? Rashi points out because this is a carbon chatas. Just like in the Azara, the carbon chatas is localized to the north side of the Azara. So to the burning of the par and the seer is done on the north side of Yerushalayim. V'chotzei gemal machanos. Rabbi Yossi Omer, abeis hadesh nisrafin. Now Rabbi Yossi says, now where do I burn it? In a designated area. An area called the Beis Hadeshen. What is this area called the Beis Hadeshen? So the Gemara points, Rashi points out, it's the same place where the ashes were removed. Remember how we described that every day there was a mitzvah of Truma Sadeshen, that you take one shovel full of ash from the top of the Mizbech, and you go down and you deposit it on the east side of the ramp. Then, there's another mitzvah of Hotza'a Sadeshen. Obviously, there's going to be an accumulation of ash on the top of the Mizbech. The ash is removed off the Mizbech and taken to a depository. Where's that depository? So it was outside Gimel Machanos. It's an area called the Beis Hadeshen. So what Rav Yossi is insisting is that the place that I'm going to burn the par and seir of Yom Kippur is going to be the pre-designated area. And what's its designation? Deshen. Meaning that's the place where the ash is taken out. So the Gemara notes that we seem to have a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi. The Tanakam says, I take it out to the north side of Yerushalayim. And Rav Yossi says, you take it out to the Beis Hadeshen. Amar Rav Aman Tana de Pagala de Rav Yossi, who argues with Rav Yossi, Rav Elazar ben Yaakovi. So we have another Tana who disagrees. The Tanya will enter the Beis Hadeshen, Shefach Hadeshen, Yisarvshi, Hei Lisham Deshen. The Tanakam says it has to be a depository where there's already ash. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Shei Mekama Mishupach. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says it has to be a slanted area, meaning that it doesn't have to be a pre-designated area. It just simply has to a description of the ground which I'm burning. The ground has to be somewhat of a slant. Why would I want the area to be a slant? So that when it's being burnt and being reduced to ashes, the ashes will flow down. Abai says, you know, you don't have to make, I don't mean to use a pun over here, you don't have to make a mountain out of a molehill. Meaning, it could be that Rav Yossi actually agrees with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov also wants you to burn the par and seer of Yom Kippur in the Makom Hadeshen, in the same place where the ash was deposited. It could be that the only machlokas may be, can that area be a flat area, or does it have to be tilted? As they have to be a little tilted to the side. But in terms of where you burn, it could be that they're really actually in agreement. The actual one burning, he's the one who's subject to this Tumah Chamura. Not the one who starts the fire, not the one who prepares the bonfire, but the actual person who's burning, you know, who is there, like turning over the meat on the fire. The one who assists the animal while being burned. Yachlaf mishenasu efer mitamim begadim. How about after the animal's been reduced to ash? Are you and the person's still there with the stick turning, playing with the ash, or not playing, but you know, turning the ash over. Tamalomer osam osam matam and begadim v'lomish shenasu efer matam begadim. No, osam. In other words, only those who were involved in the burning of the animal. In other words, so there has to be a burning of the animal. The limbs have to still be intact in order for the person to become tameh. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon omer hapar matameh nitach habasar eino matameh. The bull is going to be matame, but once decomposed, it's no longer going to be matame. So, sounds very similar. Maybe. Now the Gemara wants to know what's the subtle difference between the two positions of the Tanakama versus Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says, let's say it's charred, but the limbs are still intact. So, the Gemara, as Rashi points out, if it's charred but the still limbs are still intact, so that is considered nitach habasar, but you haven't been it hasn't yet been reduced to ashes. So according to the Tanakama, your tummy until it's actually reduced to ashes, whereas according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, once it's charred, it's considered nitach, it's considered decomposed, and therefore anyone, any kohen who gets involved from that point going forward is not going to become tummy. Okay. All right, we had a lengthy discussion in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, in terms of the burning of the par in the seir. So once again, just the basic points to walk away with from this discussion. Number one, the par in the seir, even though it's a chatas, but it falls under the category of chatas apnimi, not chatas achitzona. It is, none of it's eaten by the kohanim. It's all going to be burnt. Where is it going to be burnt? Outside Gimel Machanos. Where exactly outside Gimel Machanos? So we saw a number of opinions. One opinion is that it's burnt Mizracha Shel Yushalayim on the east side, just like the Par Aduma. Another opinion is that's on the north side of Yushalayim. And at what point exactly is the person who's burning it going to be subject to Tumas Begadim, meaning Tumah Chamura, where he and his clothing are going to become Tameh. So that, the Gemara says, is again subject to Machlokas. According to one opinion, the moment that he walks, that steps foot outside the Azara, and according to a number of other opinions, no, when he's actually involved in the act of burning. At what point is the Tumah going to continue to apply? So that again is another machlokas, either until the limbs get charred or until it's actually reduced to ashes. Okay. Now we come back. And now, again, as we pointed out at the beginning of today's daf, the Kohen Gadol cannot move forward until we know this stage has been completed. Now, when we're not talking about the stage of the burning of the par in the seir, we're talking about the sending out of the goat. We send the goat Lazazel. So again, 12 kilometers, we approximate about 3.5 hours. When can the Kohen Gadol start resuming the Avodah? Amrulo le Kohen Gadol higia sir le midbar. They tap the Kohen Gadol on the shoulder and they say, okay, we're good. Check. We can now go forward. The goat's gotten out to the midbar. Now, the question that... Wait. So the Kohen higia sir le midbar. Minayin hayu yodin. She higia sir le midbar. How do I know that? In other words, what's going on? Are we divining right now? How do we know this information? So dear Kaos Ayu Osin, Omenifim Bisudrayan, Vyodin Shigia Silla Midbar. So the flag waving. Okay, the flag waving, this is not the first time that we saw flag waving as a form of communication. You remember your Mishnayos and Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnayos, by the proclamation of Rosh Chodesh, we have some form of flag waving. And to my mind, I can think of one other area where there's flag waving. The execution, we actually use them to execute. I'm talking about flag waving as a form of communication. I'm just thinking out loud. Sanhedrin, sixth parak in Sanhedrin, right, where there was an appeals process for those who were going to be executed. Now, not like the appeals process here in this country, where we talk in terms of months and years, and the appeal process over there is pretty short. Meaning because immediately after the basin comes out with a verdict, so that's it. He's taken out to the Besa, I'm thinking now Besa Deshen. No. right. Okay. wherever, right. Okay. You'll forgive me. It doesn't come to my mind right now. But they take him out. And there will be now at that point in time, basin still sitting, and if somebody can come up with new evidence at this point in time, they'll have an appeal. But how? In other words, he's right now walking out, and they didn't have their cell phones back then, and nobody was texting back and forth. And so how are we going to communicate to the executioner? Well, hold it. So that there again, they had flags as a form of communication. So I just, you know, off the top of my head, I'm thinking about where else we have flags as means of communication. So now, as long as the goat got out to the desert, so now the flags were there communicating. So Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. No, unnecessary. The flag is not unnecessary. Now, I say unnecessary. It could be that also what he means is unreliable. I'm not sure. Meaning, why he chooses a different form of communication. But Rabbi Yehuda says, I go with this form of communication, which is, Yerushalayim Baz Beis Chaduro or Chidudo Shlosha Milan. In other words, to get from Yerushalayim to the beginning of the desert, and Hedy, this is now addresses your issue. In other words, the desert's a large place. So when do we say that the goat got out to the desert? So the Gemara over here, basically the edge of the desert, right, the chidud of the midbar, so from Yerushalayim to the edge of the desert is 3 mil. So basically the distance it takes to walk 3 mil. So now we're not talking now in the context of 3.5 hours, now we're talking basically in the context of 54 minutes, almost nearly an hour. So holchin mil, so in other words, what happens is that the person escorts him out 1 mil. Why not any further than 1 mil? Tchum. Can't walk more than tchum. V'chozrin mil. Now, he is going to walk back 1 mil. So now, this person, who is escorting, has walked now the distance of 2 mil. Which is also the time of 2 mil. V'shoin k'day mil. But that's only 2 mil. Still is going to take one more mil, so they wait another 18 minutes. V'yodin sh'higia sir l'midbar. And that's how we know that the seer got out to the midbar.
But the thing is that what makes you think that there's
correct? There's the right. Same as a, you're correct. There's a, there's an assumption being made. Agreed.
They're fasting, so you
could be agreed. I understand. I and I agree with you. Rabbi Shmuel Omer v'alo siman echad hayalahen. So Rabbi Shmuel says, what are we talking about? Meaning, we want to know when it was done. There was a siman. What's a siman? So I in the beginning of the Mishnah, I said, what did they do? Did they divine? God forbid, they didn't divine, but something similar, which is, Lashon Shosar, Isaiah Kashar, Petcho Shal Hechel. There was the red wool that was tied to the entrance of the Hechel. Ukishiyah is still in the midbar, and once the seer got out to the midbar, Hayah Lashon Malbin, it would turn white. Shenem Raimu Chateichem Kashanim Kashal Galbinu. Now it's interesting because I was going to make that point. So it's interesting because we learned just a couple days ago in the Daf that was originally the early days where they had the red wool tied. So I don't know what Rabbi Yishmael is doing now, because what is he arguing with what we said earlier? He said that universally there was always red wool attached to the Heichal. That's unclear, because as the Gemara pointed out earlier, When the Bnei Yisrael looked at the red wool that was tied to the Hechel, and they saw that it didn't turn white, it turned into a very depressing Yom Kippur. So they stopped, what we learned earlier in the Braisa, they stopped the practice of attaching the red wool to one of the doors of the Hechel. Actually, to be more accurate, we mentioned earlier that they attached it to the door of the Ulam. Okay, I don't know if that makes a big difference, but whatever. Amar Abaye, finishing up the Perek. Shema mina beis chiduta b'midbar kaima. So the base chidudo, this area that we described, was in the desert. In other words, it has a status of desert. And what's Rav Yehuda telling us? Essentially, what he's telling us is that that's the mitzvah. Meaning, yes, there's more to the mitzvah, meaning there's going to be the throwing the goat off the cliff, but in other words, in terms of the fulfillment of the mitzvah, the kiyum ha-mitzvah, it's mekuyam, the mitzvah is going to be fulfilled once the goat gets out to the desert, which means now that the kohen can continue with the process, okay. which is what we're going to continue with tomorrow. Hadron lach shnei seirei, that is the end of the sixth parak, and tomorrow We're going to start the seventh perek of Yuma, and we're going to now move on with whatever is left in the Avodas Yom HaKippur. So again today, we started the last Mishnah of the sixth perek of Yuma, or the last two Mishnahs, I should say, and in which we discussed the preparation of the Imurim to be burnt on the Mizbeach. We talked about the transporting the part of the seer outside the Gimel Machanos to be burnt. A number of machloksim in terms of where exactly it was to be sent out, but everyone's in agreement that sent out outside of the Gimel Machanos. And finally, how the Kohen Gadol was informed that the seer Mishalech was actually sent out and fulfilled its mitzvah. So a number of opinions in the Mishnah, flags, an escort, or the red wool would be the form of communication with the Kohen Gadol that the Seer Meshlech has been sent out.